Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I am here with my co-host, Alfred Adisk, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Thursday, February 5th, 2015. Good afternoon, Al.
Hello, Melody.
Hey, things are happening everywhere. And, they hit gold early today. Early morning, they hit gold. It was down, had a low at 1255. Came back nicely. We're still to the negative, 250, down 250 for gold today at 1267. On the other hand, gold should be 2,400 today with everything that's truly going on, and
well,
even higher.
Send a letter to the markets and
to Obama.
Explain this to them, and they will. I'm sure once you explain it to them, they'll change.
But we have what we have, and again, it's a buying opportunity, and I do believe there will be one event that changes the world, and it'll change the price of gold and silver. Now, people will flood into these markets, and product will disappear literally overnight. And the way we trade, the way the folks buy gold and silver will change. Folks need to prepare now at these lower prices because it will change. I believe we're getting pretty close to that one event, I believe, that will change the world and the prices of gold and silver. Silver was down 6 cents today, 0.06 at 1737. You have platinum up 12 today at 1257. Platinum was up 3 at 798. And we should appreciate the days that we have in order to get our lives in order and to get our finances in order. So be thankful that we have these days to do so. So don't waste them. The USDX today is down 0.92 at 93.51. Crude oil was back up, most likely about the Jordan situation. And I guess Russia is beginning to heat up a little bit over there. Crude oil is up 2.25 today at 50.70. And the paper markets today were all higher significantly by the Dow. Al, please. The Dow was up 211 points at 17,884. The NASDAQ was up 48 at 47.65. And the S&P was also up 20 at 2,062 with the 10-year yield 1.82% to the ups. Well, I'm sorry. up 0.02 at 1.82%. Euro was up 1.27, 1.15.
Now, what is this that Al, please? What am I being accused of here, Melody? I just like to be able to know what the charges are so I can defend myself.
Absolutely nothing, Al. So. Uh-huh. What do you got for us? What's the first topic today, Al?
Oh, what have we got? Nestle, here's something. Nestle, what is it? N-E-S-T-L-E-S. Nestle's makes the very best chocolate. Now, some of you maybe old enough to remember that commercial. I am. That was with Farfel, the Nestle's dog. Back, it's got to go back into the 50s. Nestle's makes the very best chocolate. Nestle, here's the headline. Nestle's has first ever negative interest corporate bond. Privilege of lending gone mad. This is an article by Mike Mish Shedlock at Global Economic Analysis. And I don't necessarily agree with this, although at first glance, he's right. It sounds crazy, but maybe it's not. Economic madness continues nonstop. Melody was talking at the beginning of the program that things are just happening all over, and they are. And it's, we've talked about this, it's not the first time. Over the last 6 months, the news rate has accelerated. There's more articles. You know, six months ago, this is a subjective opinion. You could never prove this numerically. There's always millions of articles on the internet and the whatever that are coming up today that have never been there before. But from mainstream news, the number of news articles that we see has just accelerated. It's grown dramatically in the last 6 months. It used to be you get a news article and then a little while later you get another one. You're getting, they're coming at you like they're being fired out of a shotgun. You're not getting one news article. You're getting 3, 4, 5, 10 news articles. Just bam, bam, bam. And it's a little bit of what Melody was talking about earlier in the program. There's a lot of things happening. And all by itself, just the number of things that are happening that seem incomprehensible or surprising, bewildering, that number is growing. And all by itself, that number to me signals that we're on the edge of something. We are, you know, just, and this is one of those articles that just appears to support that idea. Nestle's has first ever negative interest corporate bond. Privilege of lending gone mad. Economic madness continues nonstop. In the race for safe havens, Nestle bond yields falls below zero. Nestle's short-term euro-denominated bond yield has fallen into negative territory, possibly marking the first time in history that a corporate bond maturing in more than a year has had a negative yield. His subheading is privilege of lending gone mad. Yes, indeed, folks, you can now pay Nestle for the privilege of lending it money. All right? That's what's going on. If you want to lend money to Nestle's, Nestle's going to put up a bond. We'd like to borrow $1 million. And you come along and say, well, I'd like to buy that bond. And they say, well, we're going to charge you a negative interest rate if you buy our bond. And you're sitting back and say, what are you talking about? You should be paying me interest. You're borrowing my $1 million. You should be paying me interest. I shouldn't be paying you interest. You're the borrower. I'm the lender. So the whole thing, paying negative interest rates, it does sound nutty. All right? But we've heard a little bit about it. We've caught this. There are some other banks. This is perhaps the first corporate bond that's coming up with negative interests. But there have been banks in a couple of the countries in Europe that are paying negative interest rates. I believe the Swiss may be doing that. I'm not positive. But there's one or two countries at least that are paying negative interest rates on bank deposits. And it sounds like, my God, is the world gone mad? And but I'm wondering, is negative interest rate really evidence, as Ms. Shedlock said, of the privilege of lending gone mad. And I'm sitting here and I'm thinking to myself, no, I don't think so. At least maybe not. And here's why. I suspect that negative interest rates anticipate deflation, repaying the debt with more expensive dollars. Everyone knows that in a period of inflation, you can go out and borrow money from for a house and go into debt, and you will be encouraged to do so by the promise of inflation. The argument is that, yes, you're taking out a lot of money to buy the house. But by the time you get to the end of the 20-year mortgage or the 30-year mortgage, the value of the dollar that you're repaying on your debt, you borrow $250,000, you're going to repay $250,000. But by the time you get to the end of that 20 years or 30 years, the value of your dollar, it could be half of what it is when you borrow them. And that can offset interest rates. It makes it much easier for you to pay the debt because you are effectively robbing the lender. You are getting over. You are taking great advantage. Your debt is being subsidized by inflation. But if we go into a period of deflation, when the dollar grows in value, then when the 20 years comes to an end or the 30 years on your mortgage, you're actually paying off that debt with dollars that are more valuable than the ones you borrowed. You borrow them today, and by the time you get 20 years from now, the dollars are worth more. They have more purchasing power thanks to deflation. Now, instead of the creditor being robbed, the borrower is being robbed. Right? The guy came up there and said, what is this? I'm paying this stuff back with dollars that are worth maybe twice as much as they were back when I borrowed them. I'm going broke. It's driving me into bankruptcy. Point then. Now, to offset the possible costs incurred by a borrower, like Nestle, due to inflation, Nestle is paying negative interest rates. And to say paying, it would be more accurate to say they're charging negative interest rates, perhaps. All becomes a little bit confusing. But what I'm trying to illustrate is that if Nestle thinks we're going into a period of deflation, or if any of the banks that are paying negative interest rates in Europe, if any of them believe we're going into a period of deflation, then negative interest rates make sense. It's a compensation. It's a way of saying I'm going to borrow $100,000 in a time of deflation, and I know that by the time I pay the bill off, it's actually going to be worth $120,000. I'll be paying $120,000 to the creditor rather than the $100,000 I promised. I don't want to pay $120,000. I want to pay just $100,000. I'm not talking about the interest that's tacked onto the debt. I'm just talking about the value of the principal itself. And the way we would compensate for that, if we sat back and said, well, we're going into a period of deflation, then I would want a negative interest rate to as the borrower. I don't want to be ripped off. I don't mind ripping off the creditor. I don't mind ripping off the lender, but I don't want me to be ripped off. So to compensate and protect myself, I'm going to charge a negative interest rate. You are going to have to pay me to borrow money from you, all of which sounds crazy. But nevertheless, it does make good sense in our brave new world of fiat currencies and monetary deflation, and which is typically associated with economic depression. If you want me to borrow your money, you're going to have to pay me to do it. Why? Because we're in a period of deflation, and I don't wish to pay back more money than I borrowed. Does that make any sense to you, Melody?
Sure it does.
You say that, but are you sincere?
Yeah, I do. I mean, when you look at why people go into bonds that have negative interest rates, and by the way, Nestle's is headquartered in Switzerland, and there's quite a few European countries that do the negative interest rates. And so, it also shows that these European investors are very pessimistic about their economic conditions over there, that they're willing to take their funds and accept that negative rate.
Because Nestle's, if I understand correctly, has been a strong corporate stock for decades or generations.
Well, they're the
You wouldn't be able to get away with it with some, you know, junk stock or whatever.
But
best blue chips, they might be able to get away with negative interest rate. It's a place to put your money.
But it's also
like gold,
a demand for it. It's a demand for it. So the bigger the demand, it lowers that interest rate. But I think in one report that I saw, I think Shell briefly saw some negative rates last week on their bond. But you do have a couple of the European countries. You mentioned Switzerland. They're one. They actually had negative interest rates on bonds for as long as 13 years. So it's, you know, there's a, you know, and I think
there's a method to the madness, or at least perhaps there is.
Mm-hmm.
We look at it and we can say, this is crazy, or we can look at it and say, maybe it's not crazy. And if it's not, the only way I can make sense of it is they're anticipating significant deflation in the foreseeable future.
And they're also expecting their currencies to go higher, too. So, as you mentioned, that plays into the...
If it goes higher in value...
That's right.
That's what they're anticipating.
They're anticipating that currency to go up. However, the big question is, will it?
Yeah, I know.
And certainly you've seen the euro fluctuate. I mean, heck... 5 years ago, everybody thought that the euro was going to go kaput. And I don't think the euro is going to go kaput. I think the euro is here to, you know, to stay at least for a little while longer. And we saw it all the way up to 140, you know, so it fall back down. And, you know, they all take their turns in fluctuating. That's how they manipulate, and that's how they adjust their, you know, their economies and their exports. So...
The reason the dollar has been rising is part of a deal to allow the euro and the Japanese yen to fall. Because both the European Union and Japan want inflation, and they may need it more desperately than the United States does. And then the United States may be sitting back and say, all right, we will take on some deflation. We can handle it in order to allow you folks with the Japanese yen and the euro to enjoy some inflation, which might stimulate your economies. Again, the U.S. dollar index is like a teeter-totter. The dollar is sitting on one end of the teeter-totter, and six currencies, including the euro and the Japanese yen, are sitting on the other end. And if our currency becomes more valuable, theirs inflates and becomes less valuable. And vice versa. If ours is inflating, theirs are necessarily going down on this teeter-totter. Right, we go up, they go down. They go up, we go down. Right? It may be they've agreed that, all right, we'll put up with deflation for a while here in this country in order to give you folks in the EU and Japan a chance at enough inflation to maybe stimulate your economy.
One thing the U.S. is good at is boiling that frog. Where when you look at Japan, I mean, they put their trillions of dollars into their stimulus. It was... done. Let's do it. Same way with Europe. I mean, of course, he talked about it for, you know, a year before they did anything. But when he did it, they did it. They don't boil the frog over there like the U.S. does.
And boiled frog. What's more American than that?
Yes.
Let's take a break for some commercial announcements. Melody and I will be back on Financial Survival in just a moment. Please stay tuned.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free 866-229-3663 or online thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Are you concerned about prescription drug dependency to stay healthy? Are you worried that the cost and availability of your medications may put your health at risk? Perhaps it's time you consider a natural, safe, and effective way to deal with your health problems. If only you knew where to start. Start right here. Tune in to Herb Talk Live with herbalist Wendy Wilson every Tuesday and Thursday evening, 7 p.m. on AmericanVoiceRadio.com, where your healthcare options just became endless.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Adask here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. What's next, Melody?
Huh, were we done with the negative interest rates?
I don't know. I think I've beat that pretty much. I've boiled that frog. I've boiled that particular frog as much as it can take. We may have to go back and there's only so much you can boil the frog on any given day. All right. So maybe tomorrow we'll boil it a little bit more. Who knows? Or fry it or something. But today, that's enough. Got another one here talking about Greece. A couple of them on Greece, matter of fact. And we talked about it just yesterday and why they're going to have to give Greece a break, because Greece can't pay. Greece has admitted, its finance minister has admitted, that they don't have the money to pay. He said, look, this is not a question of illiquidity. It's a question of insolvency. They're broke. They're bankrupt. They don't have it. The prime minister of Greece, newly elected prime minister Alexis Tsipras, he said, we don't have the money. We're broke. What are you going to do? You can't get money of blood out of a stone. We're busted. Now, that being the truth of the matter, you would think that the European Union would go along with this and allow Greece to repudiate some of its debt. But here's an article from Ms. Shedlock again. ECB, that's the European Central Bank, cancels acceptance of Greek bonds as collateral. We talked about Greece had some idea about two different kinds of bonds. New Greek bonds, new and improved Greek bonds to replace the old Greek bonds, and about half of them would be based on the idea if Greece made any money, if we get any money, we'll pay you a little bit, okay? They might pay on the first kind of bond, And the second was called a perpetual bond, which means they weren't going to pay on it ever. You know, and it just becomes crazy. It cracks me up. I'm laughing then, I laughing now about it. But here, new news, okay? European Central Bank cancels acceptance of Greek bonds as collateral. The European Central Bank press release discussed the eligibility of Greek bonds used as collateral in Eurosystem monetary policy operations. In a nutshell, the ECB unexpectedly and suddenly canceled acceptance of new Greek bonds as collateral for liquidity funding unless Greece honors the existing debt agreements. In other words, the ECB is not going to take any more Greek bonds. They're not going to say, okay, you write a piece of paper, promise to pay, we'll accept it, we'll pretend it's good, and we'll give you some more money so you can get by. They're not taking any more, all right? Unless Greece honors the existing debt agreements, which means Greece has to agree that it will not slash its debt by 50%, which is what Greece wants to do. They want to cut their debt by 50%, just write it off, forget it, ain't happening, all right? And the ECB says, we aren't going to let you do that, and we won't give you any more money unless you agree to pay the whole debt. In other words, again, the ECB won't allow Greece to repudiate any of its existing debt. The problem with the ECB's intransigence is that Greece is bankrupt and can't pay its debts. Thus, one way or another, there's going to be a major haircut. Somebody's going to take a loss. All right? Here are the choices. These were the choices listed by Ms. Shedlock. One. An adult meeting of minds takes place as to what can and can't be paid. Well, that's not going to happen. This is politics. They don't have any adults up there. They may have psychopaths, but they don't have adults. We have politics as a world for children and psychopaths, and there won't be an adult meeting of the minds, at least not if you can believe what the European Central Bank has said. They've said, no way. All right? Not happening. No negotiated haircuts relative to the Greek debt. Second possibility, parties agree to yet another can-kicking exercise that prolongs the agony at increasing expense down the road. That's what we've been doing in this country. That's what they've been doing over there. We aren't going to face the truth. We're going to walk away from it. We'll kick the can down the road. Who knows? Maybe something will happen that'll save us. The third possibility is Greece just says, essentially, to heck with it. And they suddenly default with massive repercussions now instead of massive repercussions later. All right, after we finally run out of road and can't kick the can any further down. Like it or not, there are no other choices. This is according to Ms. Shedlock. Normally one would expect option number two, which is extend the time allowed for repaying Greece's debt and pretend the debt can be paid someday. That's option number two. That's what we should expect normally, and that's what bureaucrats most often do. However, it's increasingly likely that both Syriza and Germany have both had enough. Syriza is the new Greek political party that won the election on the 25th of January. All right? Maybe they've both had enough. German citizens support the no haircut thesis by a 68% to 28% margin. In other words, Germany will not agree to forgive some or all of the money it's loaned to Greece. But Greek Finance Minister Yanis Varoufakis and Greek Prime Minister Alexis Tsipras are political novices. Still, they both seem to be masters of game theory and both know full well and are willing to admit and have admitted that Greece is bankrupt. All right? We can't pay. We don't have any freaking money. It's not that I left my wallet on the table in the bedroom before I came out here to have dinner. It's that I'm broke. I don't have any money. Bankrupt. And I'd like you to buy my dinner for me, but I can't pay you back for it. That's the position Greece is in right now. they didn't just forget their money, or they're, you know, waiting for the money to come in the door, or their debtors are a little late paying their debt back to Greek government, and they'll have the money in 2 weeks. They should have had it by now, but they're assured that it will come in 2 weeks. No, it's not coming in. They're not waiting on any money. They're broke. They're bankrupt. It can't pay. Now, what's interesting about this is the United States government, this is an aside, all right, a little rabbit trail. Well, we're boiling this frog. Here's a little rabbit trail we can trot down. Interestingly, the U.S. government is also bankrupt, like Greece. It's been bankrupt since at least 1971, when we stopped paying our debts in dollars that were redeemable in gold. That means we stopped paying our debts, or the government did. It was bankrupt. At that point, 1971, government was clearly bankrupt. Some people say it's been bankrupt since the New Deal in 1933. It's hard to know. You've got so many shades and veils and whatever. It's hard to know where all the truth is. But it's abundantly clear, if you look closely, that the government is bankrupt today. But who in the U.S. government in the past 40 to 80 years has been willing to admit in public that the government is bankrupt? So far as I know, only one congressman has made that admission in public, and that was James Traficant, the eight-term congressman from Ohio. According to the United States Congressional Record, March 17, 1993, volume 33, page H1303, Speaker Traficant from Ohio is addressing the House of Representatives, and he said, "Mr. Speaker, we are here now in Chapter 11. That's one of the bankruptcy chapters. Members of Congress are official trustees presiding over the greatest reorganization of any bankrupt entity in world history, the U.S. government." Now, he had more to say that I'm not going to get into right now, but Traficant admitted in the Congressional Record that the country's in bankrupt. This was back in 1993. Congressman Traficant served 16 years in Congress. And later, though, after being convicted of official corruption, he spent another 7 years in federal prison. He died last September at age 73. I wonder if that's a lesson. Is there a lesson there about admitting that your government is bankrupt? Is there something we should learn from that? Is that a secret? Is that something we shouldn't say? In any case, back off the rabbit trail and back to the problem with Greece. And the European Central Bank is not allowing Greece to repudiate any of its debt. Greek Prime Minister and Finance Minister's honest admissions that Greece is bankrupt should take them down the correct path. That extend and pretend is precisely the wrong thing to do. You can't keep admitting or claiming you're not bankrupt when you are. It only makes it worse. You might just as well, all right, fine, I'm bankrupt, let's figure it out, and we'll get on from there. If Germany and the Eurozone refuse to negotiate existing debts with Greece, Greece may be forced to simply repudiate its entire existing debt and then fall into undeniable bankruptcy and chaos for Greece. But when the Greek debt disappears, the European Union financial system may also collapse. If it doesn't collapse, all right, Greece pulls it off. They cancel their debt. And the world doesn't come to an end. All right, imagine that happens. Well, guess what? The people in Spain who are currently busted just as bad as Greece, they're just as bankrupt. The government of Spain is going to say, well, how about us? How about we cancel our debt? All right, and then maybe we'll see Spain or Italy and Ireland that are also going to want to cancel their debts. Maybe even France. There is a potential for Greek contagion here. That the Greek flu could be spreading to other governments in the European Union. And if it does, it implies that while we may be able to get away with Greece repudiating its debt, we're not going to get away with Spain and Italy and Ireland also repudiating their debt. Now, the problem was that the European Central Bank's sudden and surprising announcement that Greece will not be allowed to repudiate any of its existing debt may be less about Greece than about Spain or other nations in the U.S. or in the European Union that are also overly indebted. If the European Central Bank allows Greece to repudiate half of its debt, which is what Greece wants, there will be debt repudiation contagion as other debtor countries, Spain, Italy, Ireland, maybe France, also demand to repudiate much of their unpayable debt. Once this debt repudiation wave gets rolling, it could sweep over the world. We might even see a global reset that cancels some or all of all governmental debts. Therefore, at least for now, European Central Bank will refuse to allow Greece to get off the hook by repudiating any of its debts. The ECB will play tough with Greece, not because they necessarily care about Greece one way or another. They're worried about Spain. And that puts Greece and the European Central Union between the rock and the hard place. Greece is bankrupt and can't pay its debts. Can't pay its debts. That's the rock. But the European Central Bank won't let Greece repudiate any of its debts. That's the hard place. So what's going to happen here? We're about to learn what will happen when the irresistible force Greece can't possibly pay collides with the immovable object. According to the European Central Bank, Greece must pay. Got an irresistible force, immovable object. What's going to happen? If the European Central Bank continues to play hardball, Greece may be forced to repudiate all of its existing debt, not just half, which is what they want. All of it may be repudiated, and then Greece will exit from the European Union. If the European Central Bank allows Greece to repudiate half of its debt, other nations will follow, and sooner or later the European Union will be driven to financial collapse. If you've been waiting for a black swan event, this one could be a beauty. I mean, we're looking at something here that can't be resolved. Right? There is no painless solution. And the way they're trying to resolve it is by pretending it's not there. All right, we'll just pretend the Greeks aren't bankrupt. We got to get the Greeks to agree to pretend they're not bankrupt. And keep trying to pay the debt as if they believed it was possible to pay the debt. Nobody does. Nobody believes that. But they've got to play that part in order to maintain the illusion that the Greek bonds have some value, more likely in part because the Greek bonds have been used to as collateral principle to justify fractional reserve style loans in the European Union. Greece puts up $300 billion, and the $300 billion in loans, in bonds, excuse me, could be used to be lending $3 trillion or 3 trillion euros throughout the rest of Europe or maybe the world. If Greek bonds turn out to be worthless, they've got to pull in all the money that was loaned based on the presumption that those Greek bonds were good. And with fractional reserve banking, it's not just a domino effect where Greece, the one domino tips over and one more domino tips over. Thanks to fractional reserve banking, if the Greek domino tips over, 10 more dominoes, maybe 100 more dominoes will tip over. And what we're seeing there is a lesson as to what we might see here in the United States. When somebody finally sits back and says, you know what? It's like Jim Traficant, Congressman Traficant, said back in 1993, we're in bankruptcy. We can't pay our bills. We're going to have that moment. Right? I don't believe it can be avoided, and when we get to it, we're going to see something happen in this country and maybe the world similar to whatever is going to happen with Greece over the course of the next couple of weeks or months. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back in a moment. Stay tuned.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addisk. This is Financial Survival. I'm here with Melody Cederstrom. And what's next, Melody?
Well, we're going to run a little special today. We're going to do the 90% quarters and dimes. We're just going to do, again, a $25 face value. It's a nice little bag of quarters and dimes, and the price on that is going to be $300. And $65, $365 for $25 face value. If you want to add, we have some Swiss francs, beautiful Swiss francs, BUs. You know, if you like that foreign gold, it's a nice little fractional piece, a little less than a fifth of an ounce. You can add that to your package. But the $25 face value, $365, and that includes your shipping costs. So they must give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. And now you had talked about Traficant, and I just wanted to tell the listeners this, that back in July of 2014, he began a grassroots campaign. You didn't hear much about this. He was a guest speaker at the Tea Party protests, and you know, he was affiliated with other conservative programs. But he began this grassroots campaign in July of 2014 called Project Freedom USA. And what it was to have people put pressure on Congress to get rid of the IRS and divorce the Federal Reserve. So I'm sure it was to do some other things, but those were the two top factors for the program Freedom USA. And he died of an accident on his farm,
yep,
on a tractor. Yep. And they do say that perhaps he had a heart attack, and he didn't survive that. So interesting, coincidental. July 24th, September 23rd.
Well, you know,
but, he was...
Oh, go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
In a speech that he made on the Congressional Record, again, back in 1993, he said, first he said, we are now in Chapter 11. Mm-hmm. Members of Congress are official trustees presiding over the greatest reorganization of any bankrupt entity in world history, the U.S. government. We are setting forth, hopefully, a blueprint for our future. There are some who say it's a coroner's report that will lead to our demise. It is an established fact that the United States federal government has been dissolved by the Emergency Banking Act of March 9, 1933, 48 Statute 1, Public Law 89719, declared by President Roosevelt, being bankrupt and insolvent. House Joint Resolution 192, 73rd Congress, in session June 5th, 1933, Joint Resolution to suspend the gold standard and abrogate the gold clause, dissolve the sovereign authority of the United States and the official capacities of the United States governmental offices, officers, departments, and is further evidence that the United States federal government exists today in name only. Well, that's an extraordinary statement. I mean, I don't know. Whether you believe the statement is true or false, if Congressman Traficant actually spoke those words into the congressional record from the floor of the House of Representatives, you can be sure that he caused a bunch of people to say, "What is wrong with that guy? You can't make those admissions." The best of my knowledge, he's the only one around who has admitted, yeah, we're bankrupt. We've been bankrupt. And it's interesting that he specifies that this bankruptcy started in 33 in part with the joint resolution to suspend the gold standard and abrogate the gold clause in the Constitution. He understood that the bankruptcy has to do with gold. He understood that if you're just discharging your debts with these green pieces of paper in your wallet or digital currency that's associated with your credit card, you're not actually paying your debts. You're discharging them in bankruptcy. There's a difference between paying and discharging. And most people say, what do I care? The debt's not there anymore. The debt is there. It's never been paid. But legally, it can't be enforced anymore, but the debt is still there. If you can't pay your debts, you are insolvent. You are a bankrupt. And the only way you've been able to pay debts, you or anyone else has been able to pay debts for centuries, if not thousands of years, is with gold or silver. Difference between a promise to pay where you can discharge your debt and an actual payment, gold or silver coins. This is complex. It's like sorcery, practically. You try to read this and understand it, and it's difficult to put the pieces together where they are not just understood but believed. But the ideas are not so bizarre as a lot of people think, in part because we have reports that Mr. Traficant spoke about the very same ideas 20 years ago on the... 22 years ago on the floor of the House of Representatives. It goes to gold. We're in bankrupt because we're bankrupt because we don't have any gold, or our government is. At least they don't have enough where they will not redeem the currency with gold. I won't say they have no gold. They may have some, but they aren't going to give rid of their gold to redeem paper dollars from the great unwashed. They may be getting rid of the gold to cut deals with other governments, but they're not disposing the gold for the benefit of the American people. They're not even saving the gold for the benefit of the American people. But point in all of this, historically, if you can't pay your bills with gold, you're bankrupt. And we're not talking about ancient history. We're talking about relatively recent history. Can't pay your bills, you're bankrupt. Can't pay unless you have gold and silver. It's not payment with paper. Promise to pay is not a payment.
And they want you to have the paper. They want you to have the paper. They don't want you to own gold and silver. I just got this in on an email. It was The Economist. I guess it was a Rothschild's publication. And this is the magazine was in 1988, and the cover on it, the headline was "Get Ready for a World Currency," and shows this bird and has a coin around its neck. And the date on that coin is 2018. So it's interesting when you can look back and look at magazines and you know who produces them, and certainly they know what their objective is, and it's all coming to pass. And I mean, certainly we knew the outcome prior to this publication. I mean, you know that.
But we don't know the date.
But we don't know the date. But it's interesting that this one says 2018. And that's just a few short years away. What people don't understand, too, is these people are very patient. They've been working at this for a very long time. And I think this is probably the least amount of resistance over the years that they've ever had. And I think this is why we're seeing things happen so quickly now. There's no resistance to what they're doing. And, you know, maybe the only resistance that they have is a different governmental policies, their constitutions. Our constitutions, other countries. So maybe this is their obstacle now. But once that is broken down, which they seem to be doing a fine job, it looks like it's coming to pass. And 2018 is not that far away. And when you look at our history and you look at how things have changed, how laws, and they don't write all these laws to protect you. You know, look how they changed these laws prior to, look what they did prior to 2008. They changed all the bankruptcy laws. They changed all the banking laws, not to protect you, to protect them.
Yep.
The only way you, the listeners, can protect yourselves is by purchasing gold and silver. Get out of their system, because their system will ruin you. It will. Yep. They will take as much as you're willing to give them. And if you're willing to play their game, and if you think that you can protect yourself, play their game, and you can walk away a winner, be my guest. But I'll guarantee a large part of you, many of you who play their game, you're going to lose.
I agree. You know, you play that game. The idea behind what difference does it make whether our money is made out of gold or paper? And the answer to that is, if it's made out of paper, then the only thing that's needed to issue money essentially is somebody's signature on a piece of paper. It allows government to essentially write an endless stream of NSF checks. They just sign their name on a check for a million, a billion, a trillion. They send it out there, and they never redeem it. Huh? And we, the dummies, we take these green pieces of paper as if they are money, and they're not. Do you understand how much of the world I could own if I could persuade everyone in the world to accept my checks as valid without ever bothering to redeem them in my bank account? I could write a check for $1,000 today and $100,000 tomorrow, and a check for $1 billion the day after that. And as long as those checks never come back to my account to be redeemed with some real money, I can own the world in a relatively short period of time. This is exactly why the government and the Federal Reserve wants the right, the privilege, the power to print pieces of paper that can be accepted as money around the world. The rest of us, if we want money historically, how did we get more money, Melody? We packed our bureau with a pick and a pan, and we started prospecting out in the wilderness someplace looking for a vein of gold. We mined it ourselves out of California and silver out of Nevada and whatever. We dug the money out of the ground. And there's only so much you can get. You can't just write a check for 1,000 ounces of gold. It takes real work and effort to produce 1,000 ounces of gold. It doesn't take anything to produce $1,000 with a check. Huh? Just sign your name. $1,000. Easy. 100,000, just as easy. Billion, just as easy. Trillion, just as easy. It is a removal. You are dislocated from reality, and you can then do anything you want if you can persuade all the great unwashed to say, ooh, look, I've got a piece of paper, and it's got a number on it, and so I have some money. No, you don't.
You know, I just want to say this, Al. You know, we talk about inflation. We talk about deflation. We talk about Greece. We talk about Europe. We talk about Switzerland tagging away. And people think, well, what's that got to do with the time of day? And it has a lot to do with the time of day, because this is the destruction of the money that you hold. All of these programs, it is the evidence. It is the evidence of all the programs that exist. They're destroying it. They're breaking it down. Because as of in 1988, they come out and say, hey, and these people are not afraid to tell you what's going on if you're willing to look and read and pay attention. It's there for all to see. They give clues. They tell you. You just have to follow and understand. You know
and
what
believe,
the fuck, and believe.
Because what we're talking about is a kind of conspiracy that is so enormous, so monstrous, it's hard to understand it except as evidence of spiritual warfare. It's not just money, it's not just greedy people, in my opinion, that are manipulating the system. This is not buying, and this is not about getting a new car or getting a new boyfriend or girlfriend or whatever it is you want.
That's the enticement of the
ego. Yeah, some of it. But what motivates us at the top is something much bigger. This is a global phenomena, and not one man in a million understands it. And people say that's an exaggeration. It's not. That was Rothschild, Baron Rothschild. He said, let me see if I can remember the exact quote. He says, essentially, nobody understands money. And you can do all sorts of crazy things with it and get away with it because not one man in a million understands what you're doing with money. We don't understand money. Everybody in this audience, we think we understand it because we know how to count it. We know that a 5 is better than a 1 and a 10 is better than a 5. But beyond that, we have no idea what money really does, how it's made, what it should be, what it's not. If it spends, we think it's money, and it's not that simple. And until you begin to master, the very few people who do master the concept of money and understand it, and not necessarily understand it entirely, and not understand it perfectly, but if they understand it at all, they have enormous advantage over their fellow citizens. Vast majority of people don't know a thing about money. So, I don't know. What are you going to do? You got to educate yourself if you're sensible, if you're prudent, if you're wise. You're going to make it your business to learn about money. And when you do, you're going to find out, oh my gosh, paper isn't money. Money is gold and silver, at least in the Western world and for the last several thousand years. And the people who push that paper, they're not doing it for your benefit or mine. I'm Alfred Adusk here on Financial Survival with co-host Melody Cederstrom. We'll be back tomorrow. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank the producer. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. There never seems to be a single penny left for me.
That's too bad.